Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so what did you first think when I showed you the music from the musical Pop Punk High?
Oh, first off, like as we've talked about before, I love a good fake song, like a song written to be like from a specific moment in time and like written to have like already existed in that moment, even though like it's actually from present day. Like we're talking about, like we both love That Thing You Do from the movie That Thing You Do.
Adam Schlesinger,
yeah, represent.
Come on the podcast listening. We need to have a Fountains of Wayne podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And stuff like that, that kind of falls like just short of satire. Like it's not really like making fun of the period or like
Spinal Tap.
So yeah, like stuff that doesn't quite go that deep into like parody. But in what I like about this and these songs that you introduced me to is that's kind of halfway between those. It's not like it wouldn't fit seamlessly on like alternative radio in 2001, but it also doesn't feel like it's really making fun of it either. It's kind of halfway in between where like yeah, they have the obvious cultural reference points and they the riffs and the sneers, like that's all done like very authentically, but they also have like a couple moments where they're obviously like winking at what we know now of pop punk, like you know, 15 years later, and kind of showing that sort of retrospective angle on it, which is really interesting. And as I think you've said yourself, like some of the songs just work as really good songs, like that song Before Pop Punk Got So Mean, like that's a great song, man. That's a gem and a half for sure.
Yeah, we'll hear some of the music very shortly, but Andrew Unterberger, editor, writer at Billboard, thank you for coming on the show to do this intro.
Yeah, excited. It's the second week in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, you were actually the one who egged me on to have these kids on the podcast.
Yeah, as natural an alternative facts guest as I could possibly imagine, certainly.
So I came across this. It's a New York City-based independent musical called Pop Punk High. I came across it just a couple Fridays back. I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, and I clicked on a Fader article. Patrick McDermott had written a little piece about the show, introducing it, going through some of the music, played it on Spotify. I thought, fuck, these are jams. They're show tunes. They're music. They're songs from a musical that are meant to frame plot and tell a story, but they also just hold up as great songs, as you were saying, Andrew. So within 24 hours, I emailed the email address they had on their site, asked them if they wanted to come on the show, and they were down. So what you're about to hear is my interview with three of the core people of this new musical, Pop Punk High. Felicia Lobo, who is the director. Ben Lapidus, who plays one of the leads. He also wrote the music and the lyrics. Him and Felicia are in bands themselves outside of the show, which I'll touch on after we're done with the interview. And the third person head on is Anderson Cook, who's a producer. So, I'm excited to share this one with you guys. Actually, seeing the show for the first time tonight, so you might be saying like, well, why would I want to listen to a podcast if this is just like a musical I've never heard of and never seen? Well, I did a whole podcast myself with these people, I having never seen the show, just hearing the songs on Spotify, so I was sold, Andrew.
Yeah, I feel like you get most of the gist of the musical from the songs itself. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if you see it like, whoa, this is not at all what I expected. I feel like it's probably a pretty authentic representation of the musical itself.
So we're going to play some of the songs all throughout this podcast, sending us away into our interview with Pop Punk High. This is one called Pop Punk Fantasy.
We could join the ranks of pop punk's most legendary power couples.
Like Chad Gilbert from Newfound Glory and Hayley Williams from Paramore.
Like Derek Whibley from Sum 41 and Avril Lavigne from... Avril Lavigne.
Like any lead singer from a Warped Tour band and an underage teen.
There goes my dream.
Pop Punk High.
Yeah.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So this is a big day for you guys. You have a performance this evening, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All in performance mindset?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben's the only one that has to do any performing tonight, so I feel fine.
Yeah. No,
I'm going to go get a nice dinner after this, get a cocktail, and just watch the show. So I'm not stressed.
Yeah, no, I slept in. I'm prepared. I'm ready.
So before we jump in too much to Pop Punk High, let's just do a round the table of introductions and tell us who you are and what you do for the show.
Sure. So my name's Felicia, and I directed it.
My name's Ben. I wrote the music, and I act in it.
And I'm Anderson Cook, and I wrote it, and I produced the show.
So give us, whoever's best equipped for the explainer, or maybe everybody, a little lead into what the plot is all about. Set the stage for the listeners.
Writer.
I was like, take it on. Take it right.
Writer question.
I've sent this press release too many times, so I'm going to try to not regurgitate the press release. But it's a show where... It's a universe where it's always the early to mid-2000s. Everyone loves pop punk more than anything in the world. They're really pissed off at their parents. All they care about is pizza and kickflips, and they don't care about this dumb school stuff. So that's kind of, and it follows, you know, our hero, Derek, our pop punk everyman, and his quest to become the king of pop punk high.
Yeah.
And he finds the ghost of Avril Lavigne trapped in a bong in his attic after she was murdered by record executives who were sick of pop punk. And that's going off of the whole internet conspiracy theory that was, it's been kicking around the internet for a few years
that
now.
That she is not the original Avril Lavigne.
Yes, correct. Yes, that she's a replacement, which I am obsessed with and I think is so funny. And the plot takes off from there. Yeah, hijinks ensue.
And Ben, you play one of the leads.
Yeah, I play Derek. So I play the pop punk loser kid who like can't get the girl, and he just really more than anything wants to be king of pop punk high. And so you know he's totally down in the dumps. And then after smoking this magic bong, Avril Lavigne appears as the genie, the ghost genie, who grants him three wishes, and these three wishes are to help him win his love interest, Amanda Bunkface, and also become king of pop punk high.
Yeah, and the emotional journey he goes on there is, you know, at the beginning of the show, he has one very set idea about what it means to be pop punk, and that's very much tied in with some regressive early 2000s ideas about, you know, who's important and the prominence of men in the scene versus women, which was definitely lopsided in the early 2000s, and him sort of learning... How to pop punk in a way that helps everyone.
Pop punk as a verb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah. Huge.
As is having the presence, as we're saying, the unique, the important mindset and voice of Avril Lavigne, the original Avril Lavigne in this show. So there's three wishes that help move things along. Is there a certain pop punk frontman or figure from the scene who your character is based off of?
Like vaguely Derek Whibley.
Okay, all right.
But
and like when we say that, it's like the attitude that he espouses in like Sum 41 songs. You know, not really him and his life. It's sort of
the ethos of Derek Whibley embodied.
Okay.
A fictional cartoonish character named Derek.
Yeah.
And then there's like Skeet, who's the nemesis, and that kind of was going off of Pete Wentz originally. Is going to be.
So you think Pete Wentz is like a bad guy?
No, not actually, but we could, you know, imagine if he were.
I'll commit to it. I'll say Pete Wentz is a bad guy. I'll start that. Pete Wentz has no idea who I am. I can say that. Come
to Pop Punk High, Pete. Yeah. If you got beef, you want to settle?
Yeah. Fight us there, Pete.
Yeah, for all three of you, did you go to Pop Punk High schools?
I mean, my personal experience was, like, I was one of very few in my middle school and high school that was into such things. And, I mean, I was 100% Hot Topic girl. I'm wearing a choker today. The listeners can't see it.
Well, chokers could also be very 2018.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's coming back around.
And that's the thing is, like, a lot of the stuff that this show, like, looks at and this, like, nostalgic feeling that we're all feeling right now, a lot of that is coming back right now. Like, people are really into, like, I don't know, like Nicktoons right now, and like bring and like even some, even like, I mean, you're wearing a Charlie Puth shirt, but like
sure,
the
Charlie
sounds
Bliss.
Like that stuff is coming back.
Absolutely.
Now a little bit. We're sort of getting back to like instruments again and away from, I mean, we're still in electronic land, but like we're coming back to instruments a little bit, which is cool. What was the original question? I don't know.
Did you go to a pop punk high school?
Oh, no. But both my brothers were... The answer is no. Both my brothers were in bands, so I was really into bands growing up. I made them drag me to Warped Tour and did that whole thing, so... But there was very few of us, so I was sort of a weird kid, unfortunately.
So, Ben, it sounds like you did go to a pop punk high school.
Yeah, relatively. It seems, like, especially, you know, talking to people from other parts of the country, it's definitely true that Doylestown, Pennsylvania had, like, a really rockin' pop punk and hardcore scene back in the day.
Is that east or west, more so?
East Pennsylvania.
Okay. Like, so, like,
close
starting
to New
line. Yes, yeah, like, starting line territory.
Yes. With bands like Tidal Fight and
okay.
Balancing Opposure. They actually went to my high school.
Oh, no, so it's like even more recent stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Word. And like, so this show is really like about the pop punk of when I was maybe in elementary school, like the Blinks, Sum 41s, like those that kind of movement. But I mean, I really started playing music and getting in like heavily into the scene and the music in high school with that kind of later branch of like Long Island hardcore pop punk influences and stuff like that. Like Brand New was like a like the band in high school, I remember.
Yeah. I remember something about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can relate. Yeah.
Nah, I did not go to a pop punk high school at all. I went to a very, very preppy all boys Catholic high school.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I tried to get like my small acts of rebellion in there, but it was certainly not a place where everyone was pop punk. Mm-hmm. I wish. Maybe that's what the show is, you know, manifestation of my wish to go to a pop punk high school.
Not even Christian pop punk.
Not even Christian pop punk.
Not even
that
some Reliant K.
There you go. Yeah.
I wish. No.
It's crazy how many bands that I listened to growing up had no idea they were like Christian bands until like much later, or like until I went to a show and they made us like pray or something. I was like,
oh, wow.
Weird stuff. I went to a Devil Wears Prada show once and they made us pray.
No way.
They were like, let's just take a moment, and I was like. And then, like, half the audience was like, yes. And, like, half the audience was like, oh, no. It was really, it was weird.
So funny, because it sounds like that's the kind of band you'd listen to if you were worshipping Satan.
Which I may have been at the time.
Right.
There's a beautiful irony with the Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah,
that's
right? So funny.
Actually, that's a theme with a lot of hardcore bands, I think.
Yeah, all those old Tooth and Nail record bands, like Under Oath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More towards the present. What got this show going? What was the inspiration?
It was definitely like exactly what Andy said, basically.
Well, I can remember the day specifically.
Yeah,
you remember the moment?
Go for it.
I remember the exact moment. Ben and I were cleaning Ben's kitchen, and Rhythms by Sum 41 was playing, because we had discovered that day that we both, like, All Killer No Filler was like in our top five albums ever, and I was like, oh my god, I love this album. And Ben was like, me too. And Rhythms was playing, and Ben was like screaming along to it, and I was like, we just gotta write a pop punk musical. We gotta, like, it's like we had already, Ben and I had already like made this sort of like independent downtown musical before, the show that we wrote called The Disembodied Hand That Fisted Everyone to Death, the musical. And after that we were like, what's the next thing? And I was like, Ben has this sound nailed down. He could write some amazing songs for it. I love the music. I'm like so obsessed with the ethos and all the, you know, just dumb rebellious attitude of that time. And I was like, we gotta do it.
Yeah, it was like that was the seed of it, and then as it developed, we kind of realized like what else an idea like that had to offer. Like first off, just the ethos of pop punk and the whole culture of it is there's so much comedy there to be exploited. Like it's so silly and funny and fun
and people,
to mess around
people
with.
People take it very seriously,
and people take it so seriously. And I totally get it. I did too. I do too. But it's like, you know. It's just great to play with that, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we, from there, we like did a run in like a very small theater festival. And then we did like a longer run at this theater called The Pit Loft this last spring. And then we started this run in October. And it was supposed to go from like October to December. And then we extended through February because people were loving it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
And this is the run that Felicia is directing now. And this is the run that's like... It's a level up for sure from the last one. We were doing it in like, you know, a very small improv comedy theater, no live music. It was all just backing tracks, like one microphone on a PA system. And this is like a, you know, a real immersive experience with a band, and you get to, I don't know, it's all there.
It feels like a pop punk show.
Feels like a show, but it's also a story.
Yeah.
I saw the one at the Pit Loft. And I went with a bunch of friends, and as soon as the show finished, I was like, man, I wish Ben had asked me to direct that. And then, because like I felt, because you also had like handouts. What were those handouts you had the first show?
Handout?
Barrett made some
photocopied flyers.
It was like pop punk paraphernalia. Like it was like as if you were in a high school and you got
schedule
like
pop
punk classes. Like
okay.
Pizza 8 a.m. like 9 a.m. push moshing. Like
yeah, it was really
like,
funny.
Stuff like that, yeah.
And the whole show, like I was like, wow, this is like a lot of feelings I have not had in years, and that like angsty, like angry, but it's all in the sake for the sake of fun feeling. And I was like, man, I want to be involved in this. And then you like called me on the phone and asked me to. I don't even think we had talked about it really. Mm. And you called me on the phone and we're like, we're doing an extension. Do you want to direct it? And I was like, wow. I was like, let's do it.
Now we got all ages shows.
Yeah.
Very important.
Huge. I think you got to wear a wristband.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's we have had people of all ages indeed, and like from people that were much much older than our target audience that I was blown away that they came, much less stayed through the whole thing and weren't offended.
Yeah,
and then we got people who are like young, like seemingly like late middle school, early high school.
My cousins,
so
the three girls in middle school, and they brought their whole like posse of middle school friends and just like took up the entire back row. It was amazing. It was like this is the demographic.
Everyone wants to take marker and draw X's on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
and all over your shoes.
Exactly.
I also think it's funny the people that like I always sit by the door normally or the curtain as it is, and like there's always like one older person that like leaves. Because like, and not only like because the show is pretty like
raunchy.
Yeah, I would say
risque, but it's not risque. It's sexual. It's just like kind of gross, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but it's really really funny. And it's sort of like that over the top humor that's like not super politically correct, but like it's because like that's what it was. And so like you guys like really playing with that and like going so over the top that it's like that then you like really understand how funny it is. But if you didn't experience it, I can understand how you're like, wow, this is like a lot of penis jokes. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I haven't seen the show myself, but from listening to all the music, definitely a fixation on dicks and the size of them.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very important in the pop punk scene.
Huge.
Yeah. Specifically in this show, because one of Derek's wishes that he wishes for from Avril Lavigne, it starts off as an 8-foot penis, and then throughout the show, it progressively gets longer. So it's eventually about 20 feet of penis that he's wishing for from Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
Right, the show. Yeah.
And will you see the penis during the show? Come to find out.
That's right.
So that's you think chief among the things that drives out the olds?
The huge penis.
The huge penis.
I think it's that. I mean, I think they're also just not used to like there's a level of you almost get like immune to the cursing pretty quickly because there is so much just like really flippant cursing, you know, like not like impactful, like, oh, you stupid, whatever. Like it's like very off the cuff cursing. So if like, you're really opposed to people talking like that, I could see how it could be uncomfortable. But it's really, you would be hard pressed to be like philosophically offended to be like, this is bad. This is more wrong. You know, it's just gross.
Yeah.
It's like, there are really no like strong, you
know,
controversial issues we're tackling.
If anything, it's a bunch of penis jokes as a thin facade over a very good message.
Yeah, I mean, the penis jokes are important because I think, I mean, without...
It reels you in and then it hits you hard.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a
big examination of Derek's obsession with being, you know, the big masculine dude on campus. That's like all it is.
For sure.
Let's drop in some music to show the people what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
Especially with these penis jokes. Three Wishes. There's some penis in that song.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Here's Three Wishes.
Yeah.
But my life fucking sucks. What do I have to lose?
Derek, three wishes can change your life.
Be careful how you choose.
Got it. Step one, to win Amanda's love, I'll need a magic skateboard so I can double K and not Trey and prove I'm not a gay lord.
Fuck yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah, so with pop punk in high schools, such a strong theme tying those two things together, I feel like With a lot of teen movies from the early 2000s, like the American Pie series, I'm thinking of like the Freaky Friday remix, a lot of pop punk soundtracks, motifs in these high school films from that era. Were there any like cultural artifacts that you went back to really get in the mood or for inspiration for this show?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. It was the number one that I was like, go to that soundtrack because it was so killer.
Yeah, and
it was like absolutely. It was like, you know, diversified in terms of like all the bands you want to listen to. I remember going back to that mm-hmm. initially. I don't know. What about you guys?
In terms of like designing the show with the people we worked with, I sent out a lot of music videos from the era, and that really, especially the Sum 41 videos are like
a lot
exactly,
of skating in those videos.
Yeah,
they're like, basically like Jackass.
Yes. Yeah.
Sets of music. Well, Jackass had music, but
yeah, and like a lot of the pop punk videos are all about like there is some sort of institution or hierarchy or something that's preventing you from having the best time of your life, and you have to somehow destroy it.
It's so real.
Like every single video. And so like in that, a lot of those images, and also like there's like always a bunch of girls in red cheerleader outfits. I don't know why.
With pom-poms.
Which
and we incorporated so into
we
the
had
show.
To put that in the mm-hmm. show.
Oh yeah. One of the most fun parts of just the process of getting the show together was like doing the costume designing and what was it called? Like dream boarding almost. Like all the different like artifacts from that time, like the long tube socks with like the what is the name of those huge baggy shorts that ever all the
do they have a name?
Dickies.
I was gonna say board shorts.
Same deal with like the ones that go all the way down your shins and like the, you know, obviously the long sleeve under the short sleeve and then like the wristbands mm-hmm. and
And for this show we also were interested in because with pop punk, when you think about that, we're also thinking about emo, we're thinking about like Scene Kids, we're thinking about like all those sort of groups of kids that all went to these like shows. Mm-hmm. And so we did try to incorporate a little bit of each of that into it. So we like have one guy that's in like a white button down shirt that's like drawn on with Sharpie and a tie and like some people with like a tutu.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a very inclusive show.
Yeah.
We're getting all the flavors
of pop. These subgenres are important. Like I remember like a hardcore bro, you wouldn't want to call him like an emo kid.
Oh my god!
Right. Oh,
you
know? Yeah,
people are very, very particular about it. Yeah,
or someone who was into like to metalcore, you wouldn't want to say that like, oh, they're into pop punk.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And we get that question. I get that question all the time. That people are like. Like, so is it, like, only pop-punk, or is there, like, also emo in it? Or is it, like, or, like, they want to, like, have it, like, so, you know, because it was, like, it was how you identified yourself then. It was, like, don't call me that. Like, I'm not that. And it's, like, you know, now it's, like, we're not nearly so touchy because, like, you know, I'm not going to be offended if you call my show emo or something. But people, like, want to know. They're, like, is it, like, exclusively pop-punk? Or is, like, and there's definitely, I mean, like, it's all branching off, like, the same. You know, major brands of music.
It's funny,
like
old interviews with Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. People will be like, "So people are calling your music style pop punk," and this was like when the term was just coming to. And he's like, "There's no such thing as pop punk. Like, it's only punk or you're not punk." And then of course, like everyone just like, you know, submitted to the fact that pop punk was going to be the thing their music was called. And then the same thing with emo. Like emo at first was like, every music's emotional. What do you mean I'm emo? And then it was like, oh well, that's just what we're called. Okay.
Yeah.
We're emo. Let's do it. You know.
And now finally some artists I've noticed in recent years are coming around to at least allowing other people to call their projects emo. Whereas like around the time this musical was set, no one even accepted that.
Yeah, totally.
It was like very derogatory. It was like what you like, you made fun of somebody.
And
like,
that's
oh,
the
that
same
emo
thing
kid.
We're talking about all this like masculine whatever. Yeah, it's like yeah, you don't want to be considered emotional. And so like you want it to, it's like, it's about the anger. It's not about the like, my heart.
Yeah. I think emo is like a reaction to pop punk in some ways because of that, because pop punk is like, I don't feel anything. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
All I do is like hang out, smoke weed, and like, I don't have feelings and cry about things.
Right.
And that was like a direct reaction, I feel like, to be like, no, we do. We're so sad.
We are so sad.
Have y'all gotten any responses from people and bands from this show?
Not directly.
Not that I know of.
Well, they're coming, I would say.
I hope so.
Yeah. Positive or negative, I think they're due to arrive.
Yeah.
I have joked several times with people about how my dream guest for the show is Brendan Urie, and I would be so thrilled.
Around.
He was on Broadway.
That's what I mean. He's in the area. You gotta comp with your name on it, Brendan.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
And one free drink ticket.
Sorry, no more than that. Brendan.
Sorry, Brendan.
Oh my god.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm trying to think, like, what other people from that scene have any sort of connection to the world of theater?
Well, it's so very theatrical.
Like, it's very theatrical.
I mean, Fat Mike did write a musical.
Right? Well, because people, we were billing ourselves, and we still kind of bill ourselves as the first pop punk musical. And some people get very offended by that. True. Because
Home Street Home?
First people were like, well, Fat Mike wore one. And then people were like, no, American Idiot. And I was like, well, based on that interview, Ben, the same thing. I was like, Billy Joe doesn't call himself pop punk.
Yeah, that's the punk musical.
And then also, I think it's more than that of like, I call it like the first pop punk musical because it's like, it's not just the music. It's not a musical with pop punk music in it. It's the whole ethos of it. You know, it's like, like American Idiot does not have any of this sort of attitude or like of, even though it has Green Day songs, but it doesn't have that sort of like flippant, like, you know, screw my parents vibe to it whatsoever. It's very serious. Right. And our show, less so, I would say.
Yes.
Plus, no one deserves to have NoFX fans thrown on them. No one needs that in their lives.
Yeah, a lot of the pop punk people who take it very seriously are, and with the NoFX people lumped in there, are at times like, what the hell is this? When they see our ads on Facebook or something, they're like,
oh my God,
pop-punk
you should have seen. I mean, we had to delete some horrible things in the comment section when
tell me.
I mean, when we first started doing the sponsored ads, and like we would target like people who like this band and that band, thinking like, oh, pop punk kids will like this, right? And I think it's proportional to how into pop punk you are is like how much you really hate our musical on the internet.
Yeah,
because it was like we'd get stuff like, you know, people don't get why North Korea wants to nuke us. Just look at this. Share our video.
They would share our video. That's the first thing.
That's fine with us. You can say whatever you want if you want to share our video.
Yeah, and it's only ever people on the internet. It's never anyone who's ever seen a show. Because like once you see the show, you get the attitude of it. And it's like, we love it in equal parts that we're making fun of it. But I think
the hate on the internet comes from the fact that people are misunderstanding this as like people in the musical theater world capitalizing on this subgenre that like they think they can pull in tickets from. That's not it at all. Like we literally put our own funding behind this, our own like marketing. Like this is like the same exact thing a band does when they go out and like try to make their band work, you know?
Yeah. It's hard sometimes to get levels of that across when you're just throwing, you know, a minute long trailer for something, just or building a Facebook page for something, and that combined with the attention spans and like the intellects of commenters on Facebook, and you get that.
Yeah, totally.
let's drop in another song that captures some of this angst before pop punk got so mean. Girlfriend. Now all he cares about is pizza and smoking weed. I miss the old days before pop punk got so mean. It feels like I'm the only one who hasn't lost my mind. I'm thinking of the way it was. If I could turn back time, I'd stay forever, never leave those endless summer nights. I was 15 and life was a dream before pop punk got so. Yeah, so one of my favorite lines from the songs is in Pop Punk Fantasy, where you're going through all the perfect pop punk couples, and the last one is a dude from a Warped Tour band and an underage teen. So I'm wondering, what was it like for you guys, like going back and thinking about these years and just grappling with how the attitudes towards women and girls in the scene was just not very good?
Yeah, I mean, where did that sort of, because it was like, that was definitely not the original impulse behind the show. It was something that we discovered as we were doing it. As we were like going back and listening to things and like thinking about, you know, the female characters in the show, we were like, wow, they were not spoken of well by the men who were singing these songs at all. And there's like, in the same way, it's like there are some things about this like scene that we kind of need to reckon with if we're gonna
Absolutely.
Make this in a way that everyone can laugh at and not feel like we're ignoring something, like ignoring the guys on Warped Tour sleeping with underage teens. And we actually had a lot of debate about that joke, and we're like, is that like gonna rub people the wrong way? Is it gonna think that like we're being flip about it, or like we don't think it's serious? But that's on, and you know, people I think have understood that we're not pro Warped Tour guys sleeping with underage teens or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely a good idea to have that line in there, because when I was listening to it for the first time, it made me think, oh, all right, these guys get it. Like, they're on the good side.
Totally.
They're addressing that through humor.
Yeah. There's a line in the show, too, that usually is, like, consistently gets the most laughs, which is after Derek finds out Amanda Bunkface is entering Battle of the Bands with her own band, Death Pussy. And that totally fucks up his plan, because he was about to impress the shit out of her with his band. So she walks away and Derek goes, oh, that was so weird. It was like she had a life outside of my wants and desires.
And people always love that.
And people are like, okay, we get what the show is.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And I think in just being funny and getting people to like laugh along with you in 2018, that's just the way to go, you know? It's cool you guys get that.
Yeah, and I think like the cartoonish vibe of the play really helps. Like all the performances in the play are like insanely over the top. Like what we have asked these poor actors to do every Thursday night is pretty out of control. And I think because of those performances of this like very cartoonish thing, it's like you can't watch it and not get it.
Sure.
I just want to say, like, as a girl that was going to Warped Tour and like into this music, it's funny because like I hadn't really thought about Avril Lavigne in like a while until I started working on the show, and like Avril Lavigne was actually really a big influence for me. And I think part of it was that she, like, on all her videos, she's like running around with the boys and like wearing baggy jeans and like isn't concerned with being pretty and all these things. And like that sort of part of pop punk, even though like, yes, women totally underrepresented in the scene, was really helpful for me as like a young girl that was like, oh, I don't have to like look like an Abercrombie girl. I can look like this and still like be cool. Does that make sense?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. So that was helpful for me. Go Avril.
Yeah, for sure.
And you were saying you think you push some of the actors and actresses in this show out of their comfort zone, what they're normally used to?
The vocal affects for me is what always makes me laugh so much. It's just like, it's like the, you know.
Yeah, hearing like truly great singers try to like put on the pop punk affect is so funny. Because I mean, literally everyone in the cast is mind-bogglingly talented. It's like insane. Like we got some seriously amazing people. But like, yeah, them trying to do the pop punk voice is so funny. Like,
I'm trying to think of the vowels. It's like, all right. Like,
yeah.
Tonight. Yeah. Like, it's just like very, very nasal. And like, they're all like trained. So they know how to like place it correctly. And we're like, no, but don't do it right. Like, you know, like, don't hurt your voice or anything, but it has to sound a lot worse than that. It's gonna,
I mean, that's what we had to deal with a lot in auditions, where it was like, I remember Patrick, who plays Skeet, during his audition, like, he sang the song fine. And I was like, yeah, but, like, we need to see the stylistic thing of it. And, like, Ben and I were just like, it's like, I know, I can't. Like, it's like that thing. And, like, he got it immediately. And I was like, okay, great. And so, like, it's that kind of stuff that, like, is asking a performer to do something that's, like, a little bit different.
Yeah.
And also because it's a little bit immersive. Like, for example, Amanda Centeno, who plays Tib, Derek's small little weird friend, I mean, she goes down the audience tonight and just screams in everyone's face. It's just like literally screaming at the top of her lungs, because like the feeling of this like angsty, it's like you're so angsty and you're so excited about being alive that you might explode at any moment. It's like that's the feeling. And so like they have to do that for the audience, and while doing it very close to them, because it's not like a stage and the audience is back here.
Yeah.
They're inside the audience. They're running around the tables. They're drinking people's drinks off their tables, which I guess I approve of. I don't know.
Yeah, my crowd in high school was kind of an overlap between scene kids and theater kids. So I totally get what you guys are coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me.
Me too.
I was like, it reminds me, just there's so many people that have that voice. Like, the story so far is the one I always think of like very, very theatrical voice. And there's another one of like, I don't remember what it is, but there's several guys who I think Oh, there's a guy who did Razia's Shadow.
Oh,
I remember that?
Dude, I was literally just thinking of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the Forgive Durden.
Yes, Forgive Durden.
Yes.
And they, but they're something about the music, I think, just makes people, I mean, the songs are already, like, so storytelly, or, like, we're gonna get out of this town tonight, me and you, baby, like, you know, just keep running, don't look back. It's like, there's always, like, I mean, it's the same story of the music videos of, like, there's a thing keeping me from being, like, totally happy and free and a teenager, and I gotta destroy the thing. And
tonight is our night.
Yeah.
And I think theater actually comes up a lot in, like, other pop, like, I think that's why I was really into pop punk, because, like, when I watched music videos, like, ones from, like, My Chemical Romance, or who's another one, or Panic at the Disco, even, like,
super
it is
theatrical.
Theater.
Yeah.
It is, and, like, I remember the first Panic at the Disco album, I, like, listened to it so many times, because the whole album, like, tells a story of someone's life, basically. And I got that from, like, because, like, you know, when you had CDs, you listen to albums straight through, which I never do anymore, terribly. But, like, all the music videos, too, it's just, like, I felt like I was watching, like, an opera or something on my, like, on MTV.
Yeah, like, pop punk and high school theater were two of the actually accessible forms of music that were in the lives of just, like, common everyday kids this age.
Completely.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And you could, like, yell about stuff, and it was, like, okay.
Yeah. And because I was saying, I roll with a lot of kids who are into these two worlds, and they kind of gravitated towards the more, like, rock shows, like Rent or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there weren't really any kind of shows, at least at that point, that leaned into any kind of alternative rock or punk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had, like, Queen style, and that was as close as it got.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a development of both just, like, the natural progression of these things, like, coming together, but also, like, people experiencing that when they were in high school and wanting things to, like, be pushed more. And you mentioned Rent, and Adam Pascal, who was the original Roger in Rent, was discovered singing in a rock band and, like, on the Lower East Side, and he'd never done, like, you know, a Broadway show before or anything. So I think this is, like, you know, the completion of a trend that's been happening since at least, you know, the mid-90s.
Yeah, and also, like, in pop music or popular music used to be, like, the things that people saw on Broadway was what they also listened to in their homes, you know, back in the day. And so, like, theater now is, like, look at, like, Hamilton or anything like that. Like, we are taking current music trends, like, and thankfully, because, like, theater needed to, like, catch up to what was actually going on in the world. It's catching up with the music trends, too. And so, like, some of the music you can go see a show at on Broadway is relatable to a kid that's, like, listening to music that Billboard writes about monthly. You know what I mean?
And we're sitting here in the Billboard archive room with every issue since the 1800s.
Staring
so
at
we
us.
Have like those years when it was like, how much is that doggy in the window from Broadway that was charting in like the 1930s on the Billboard charts, right. When there was no difference between show tunes and pop tunes, basically.
Exactly.
It's all full circle. We're here in the archives. Yeah.
And we're sitting in a circle.
So going forward, you have shows through this month, February, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in talks about another extension after this right now. We're not sure. Seeing how much people love it, how much they want more of it. But regardless of this, this is the end of this run or not, Pop Punk High is definitely not dying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
we're doing rewrites as soon as this is done, and like we're planning on preparing for the next step, whatever that is.
I think that... correct me if I'm wrong, but the Fader article was like saying like seeing it in a larger space, and I was just like, I mean, absolutely, like the
with a full half pipe,
trained
pro BMXers,
and like a space that the audience could like, because the show is only like an hour, like if part of the audience could be like standing and be able to dance during the show, like stuff like that, to make it feel more like a concert, is like, ugh, it'd be so good.
Have it like a show, a venue that puts on shows like that, like have it at like Mercury Lounge or something.
Is that
sort of what you're thinking?
We were in talks with Sunnyvale before this, like other, like, you know, Brooklyn, Bushwick type warehousey spaces where we can have the space and have people on the floor rocking out. But it's just a question of thinking dramatically, like how does the show change when it's you when it's on a stage, it's definitely written in mind with the people are sitting, you know, and like just like the small difference of like people are standing the whole time changes like so many moments in the show. And yeah, just like the amount of patience people have for certain things.
That's
like,
why Andy's on the team. He is the brain.
No,
It's hard to get people to pay attention, and it, especially I mean I've seen it work in theaters. Like I remember like Here Lies Love at the Public, like the audience was like standing and moving around throughout the show, and like so it does work, but it. When people are standing, there's sort of this thing of like you can talk to your friends,
yeah,
which takes you away from what's theatrically going on, and then you can like miss plot,
exactly,
which is not good.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that sense, we would just have to rewrite the show. So if there's like an important plot point on this page, someone will say it three times, you know, like someone will say
with
exactly
a big
what
like
that,
you
exactly, and like it'll be like you got that, so that you won't be you know lost for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
there's just little changes like that throughout. You would have to reconsider, but.
Just make the show 20 minutes longer and make plot points develop much more slowly, much more repetition, talking in circles.
Have people shout at the audience with signs. Get it. Understand what's going on.
Yeah. Especially because also whenever you add like drinking into a show, which is fun. Like I love having a drunk audience. There's nothing better. But that also creates more of a formula for maybe not listening.
Yeah.
So you were touching a little bit on what's going forward. For what you can say now, tell the people dates of the show coming up, where they can see it, all those details.
Yeah, we've got three Thursdays, well, including tonight, four Thursdays left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's February 1st, and then we're going every Thursday until February 22nd.
So that's the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd.
Yeah, at the Parkside Lounge, Lower East Side on Houston Street in New York.
Tickets are real cheap.
$15 at the door.
Two drink minimum. Everyone has a blast.
Go to poppunkhigh.com for info and tickets.
Yeah.
And what about pushing forward? Is there anything else you want to share about just what your hopes are, what your goals are? Goals is sort of a fancy way to put it, but which is what where you're hoping to go with the show.
Yeah. I mean,
we want to play Warped Tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last year, so.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and put that into the universe. We're trying to do that.
A dream. Come true. Yeah, I feel like there's a couple options that we could do. It's either
all of them
involve people with more money than us coming on board. I think all of them involve
definitely
someone who's a little older than us and has a couple more thousand who's ready to invest in us. But it's either like a bigger theater or we like really invest in this cast album and like we're gonna make the coolest cast album in the world and like again rewriting it so that someone could listen to the cast album start to finish and understand the entire show. Things like that.
Whatever you do, if the old bassist from the Ataris reaches out to you with offering money, don't listen to him.
Did you guys
hear about that?
No.
He was arrested and is facing like 30 years in prison for this like elaborate phone extortion scheme.
Wow.
Oh my. Whoa.
Like,
noted.
Was that?
Yeah, like it had to do with like offering, like it was with real estate, like offering. I don't know anything about real estate, so I'm going to phrase this wrong, but like offering people on the phone like homes that are like about to be foreclosed and offering them at like really cheap rates and then just sort of nickel and diming them for all these upfront expenses and getting money from them and then just eventually breaking ties with them and taking the money and running. And his wife did it for a while and finally they got caught and he's probably going to jail for a long time.
Wow. Things nice. Must have not been going great. The Ataris royalties.
Yeah, right.
Well, he was like, I saw them do the like 10-year reunion tour of So Long Astoria a couple years ago, and apparently he like rolled up to band practice in a Maserati and
I was like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
So don't listen to that guy, but I'm sure hit up like Kevin Lyman, tweeted him.
For sure.
Yeah.
Avril. Avril should find out about this.
Absolutely.
I wonder if Avril would be freaked out. I was like,
if she is still alive, that is.
Yes, yeah. If it's the true Avril, if we can know.
Especially because there's literally in the show, and not all audience members like catch it, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a broom literally with eyes on it that is like a broom wearing eyeliner that comes out during the show. And that's supposed to be like the new Avril Lavigne. And I just don't want her to be offended by that because I think she's so beautiful and wonderful.
I think it's really more playing on the audience's stupidity. stupidity of not realizing that.
Guys, I think we should commit to being bad guys and making celebrity enemies. I think we should just commit to being like, hey, Avril, beef thrown down.
Yeah. You want to sell the beef? Come to Pop on Kai.
that's how you got to settle it. You got to come.
Let's drop in one more song to play us out. What do you guys want to hear?
How about I Don't Give a Fuck?
That's what I was thinking.
There it is. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on.
Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah.
Thank you so much to those three for coming by. That was the afternoon before a show. So, you know, they had a busy day ahead of them, I'm sure. They had show mindsets getting gear for, but very happy they came by. And I'm super psyched to see the show for the first time tonight. I said at the top of the episode that I would tell you info on the bands that they have going on outside of Pop Punk High. Ben is the lead singer and songwriter of a alternative band, as this is what he calls his projects on his site. I'm just pulling the words from him, of an alternative band called Ambler, that's AMBLER, and of a skate punk band called Kill Your Friends. And Felicia is the front woman of a band called QWAM, that's QWAM, all capital letters. They have one more show of Pop Punk High coming up February 22nd at Parkside Lounge in New York, but as you heard in the episode, wouldn't be surprised if they have future shows coming up at bigger and better venues. So just Google their name, Pop Punk High. It's very easy to find where all their socials are, to find the details on shows and all that good stuff. And if you liked this show, give us a star rating, write in some feedback. Just search for the podcast name. It's all one word, hashtag alternative facts. Find it on iTunes or just wherever you find your podcasts. And you can find me at CPain on a plane on Twitter. Name is Chris Payne. You can search for it there, too. And this is a weekly podcast. We normally run every Thursday, but like seasons of most things do, don't run every single week. So we're going to take a week off, take a breather next Thursday, and we will be back two Thursdays from now. So I'll see you then.